Well, good morning, prayer partners. It's great to see you out on this Tuesday morning. I'm looking forward to our Tuesday training time. I believe you're not going to have a bit of trouble hearing me this morning. Sometimes we're still working on these details, but I know Pam's on it, and we appreciate her good work getting our sound and everything in order. For those of you who are joining by live stream or who are listening, perhaps at a future time, welcome to you as well. I am looking forward to today. I have really, really been blessed as I've prepared for it. And so I want to jump right on in there and get started on a theme that will carry us for the next several weeks. And that theme or thought is time alone with God. Time alone with God. That's what we're going to be focusing on and training ourselves in. You know, in recent weeks and months, dating back to January of this year, you know, we have implemented a plan for praying together. You know, Prayer Partners Ministry is all about people praying together as a group. And we've been focused on a particular plan that helps us carry that out in our daily lives. We have this Tuesday training time. We have Sunday morning prayer time at 8:30 and 10:30. We also have our periodic prayer breakfasts and also our prayer retreats. And speaking of prayer breakfasts, how about last Sunday's prayer breakfast? Was that not a blessing? We were so encouraged. I know I was. As we heard David and Laura Johnson share an answered prayer that God has brought into their lives. It just stimulates and encourages us in our effort to pray together. And we are united in this philosophy of Prayer Partners. When we work, we work. But when we pray, God works. So that's how we have been developing our time praying together as a group. But this morning's focus is going to shift. Instead of focusing on praying as a group, we're going to focus on praying with God alone. There's a big difference, and both are important. It's important to pray together, but it's also important for us to learn and develop the ability to pray alone with God. And so we're going to introduce a plan this morning. And as I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to call this plan by name, Time Alone with God. Now, I want to give credit where credit's due here. I have been studying this subject, and I have been relying a lot on the teaching of Dr. John Maxwell, who has written a book called Prayer Partners. We're partners in prayer. I'm not sure which the title is, but it's a wonderful, wonderful book filled with very practical teaching. And so I'm, in a sense, relaying some of what I've been learning from him and some of what I've had come to my heart as I have thought about it and meditated on it myself. According to Dr. John Maxwell, there are two key reasons why people do not practice time alone with God. Two reasons he's noticed why people do not practice time alone with God. And so we're going to talk about those briefly right now. The first reason that people do not seem to practice time alone with God is a lack of desire. A lack of desire. You know, to do anything in life, you've got to have the want to, don't you? If the want to's not there, you just don't find yourself following through and doing it. So desire is crucial. If we're going to have a time alone with God, we need that desire, that what I call a God-given desire. Sometimes I pray, God, give me the want to, you know, to do this. And God has a wonderful promise, and this came to me this week, and it blessed me as I thought about it. God has a wonderful promise for us if our desire is waning or maybe lacking, and we want our desire to increase for time alone with God. And that promise comes to us through an Old Testament prophet named Jeremiah. Now, I'm going to read to you some verses from Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to read three verses, 11, 12, and 13 of Jeremiah chapter 29. These were words from God to the people of God in a time of crisis and spiritual dryness. Listen to God's promise. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Do you hear the heart of God there? He is making a promise to his people then and now. He's saying, if you want to meet with me, just seek me, and I will be found by you, and I will speak with you, and you will speak with me. That's time alone with God, if I ever heard it promised. And that is a desire expressed by God for us to have it. And so I ask us to consider a couple questions. Do you lack a desire for time alone with God? Or perhaps, do you find that at times your desire for a time alone with God kind of gets lower and lower and lower? Well, I believe that based on this promise from Jeremiah's scripture, we have an invitation to ask God to give us that desire. We could ask God and we could say, God, I'm after you. I want to seek you. And if I seek you, I know I will find you. But I also know, Lord, I need your desire in my heart. Because it says, you will seek me and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. And so I think the best thing that we can do right here and right now is just to express a brief prayer to the Holy Spirit to plant a stronger desire in our heart right now for our time alone with God. You may have a great time alone with God right now. You may not. But let's just take a moment and let's just unite in a brief prayer asking God to create a stronger and stronger desire for our time alone with God. I'll lead us in that prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this promise from the Word of God. We thank you for how you moved on Jeremiah the prophet long ago and spoke those words to your people then. And we believe that, God, your desire has not changed from then to now. You still want to meet with your people. You still want your people to meet with you. And so we are asking you through the Holy Spirit to plant a deep desire in our hearts for time alone with you. Lord, help us to seek you, knowing that we will find you as we seek you with all our heart. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, let's think about the second reason why people seemingly just don't have time alone with God, even though they know it's important, even though they agree it's good. The second reason is a lack of a plan. A lack of a plan. Not only sometimes is lack of desire the problem, but maybe there's also the lack of a plan for a time alone with God. Now, I'm going to quote Dr. Maxwell here. The idea of spending an extended time with God is very intimidating to a lot of people. When you talk about watching television for an hour, that doesn't seem like very much time. But if you ask someone who is unused to praying to spend an hour with God, 60 minutes sounds like a lifetime. However, if you approach your time with God with a good strategy, you can develop a quality devotional time that's not only rewarding, but it's life-changing. And so this morning, with that thought in mind, I think it's great that we have the opportunity to introduce the first step in a plan by which we can spend our time alone with God. So here's what we're going to do. From week to week, I'm going to share with you steps in this plan. We're going to introduce the first step in a plan that we could put into practice in our own personal lives for time alone with God. What's the first step? The first step is preparation time. Preparation time. You know, anything we do, you've got to approach it prepared. Would you agree? If we're unprepared, it's like nothing we ever attempt works well without good preparation. So, as we think about preparing for time alone with God, I want to share a story. And this came to me this morning. I give God thanks for this story. It comes from the Old Testament. And it comes from the book where young Samuel is a boy living with the high priest of Israel named Eli. One night, Samuel is lying on his bed. He's not far from the Ark of the Covenant in the tabernacle. Can you imagine being a little boy in the temple or the tabernacle, as it was, and you're not so far from that Ark of the Covenant, and you're lying down to rest for the night? This is where Samuel was. Now, in another room, Eli, the high priest, was sleeping. And the day had finished, and the distractions of the day-to-day activities of the tabernacle were over, and it had gotten dark. And Samuel was lying quietly on his bed, no distractions. All of a sudden, Samuel hears this voice, and it's calling his name. Samuel? Now, Samuel thinks it's Eli calling for him. So he gets up out of his bed. He goes to Eli, the priest, and he says, "Eli, I'm here. You called me." And Eli, he's kind of waking up, and he's looking at Samuel and saying, "Samuel, I never called you. You need to just go back to bed." So Samuel walks back, lies down, gets quiet, and that voice comes a second time. Samuel. Now, Samuel knows that someone's calling him, and he can't fathom the fact that it would be anybody else but Eli. Eli's the only other person in this tabernacle. And so he goes back to Eli, and he says, "I'm here. I know you called me." Eli said, "Son, I did not call you. Go back. Lie down." Well, you know what the story is. It happened a third time. A third time Samuel hears that voice. Samuel. A third time Samuel goes to Eli. Eli now understands what's going on. And he says to Samuel, "Samuel, go back to bed. Lie down. And if he speaks to you another time, here's what you say. Speak, Lord. Your servant hears you." That's preparation. When you get into a place where there are no distractions, and you say with a sincere heart to God, "Speak to me, Lord. I'm listening." That blesses my heart to think about it. You know what I'm convinced of, friends? God's not through speaking to his people. He wants to speak with you. But to speak and to hear the voice of God, we've got to get away from all the distractions that occupy our mind. And we've got to have a heart that says, "Lord, if you'll speak to me, I will listen. And I intend to do what you say." To me, if we can do that, we're well on our way to a time alone with God. Now, let me say it another way. No distractions, ears listening, heart willing, and mouth saying, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears you." Now, if we get to that place and that attitude and that mindset, here's what happens, or what we should begin to put into practice next. First, we need to use an approach that best helps us experience God's presence. Okay? This is the next part of preparation. Use the approach that helps you best to experience the presence of God or the voice of God. Now, people tend to experience the presence of God and the voice of God through one of three approaches. See if these don't resonate with you. Number one, prayer. Number two, Bible reading. Number three, worship music. You see, one of those three approaches helps people to experience the presence of God and to sense the voice of God speaking into their heart. And my encouragement to you is to use the approach that works best for you. Now remember, this can vary among people, this approach of God that helps you experience his presence and helps you experience his voice. It's different for different people. And so I'm going to try to help you understand some of this difference by sharing ways that I have sensed the voice of God and the presence of God in my own time alone with him. I'm going to give you some specific examples, and they're different ways, and they've happened at different times in my life. But here's one: prayer walk. Taking a prayer walk last year during the COVID, okay, we couldn't get around people. And so we were, in a sense, isolating. But in another sense, it was giving us an opportunity to practice time alone with God. So what I began to do, and usually Lori was alongside me, but she wasn't talking to me. We would get our walking sticks, and we would walk down our driveway, and we would start walking down one of the country roads, right through the cotton fields and the corn fields. And as we walked along, she and I were both praying. We were prayer walking. And here's what I noticed one day. Miss Eva, you know where this is. As we crossed Highway 16 and started walking toward where you grew up, where your parents used to live, we were there just walking along, and I was just praying to the Lord. And all of a sudden, I began to sense something. You remember the story of Jesus and the disciples on the road to Emmaus and how he was walking alongside them and they didn't know who he was? All of a sudden, while I was talking to him, now I was talking out loud, I just sensed his presence. It was so real, I began to weep. And I realized he was right there. He was right there. And you know, 5 seconds with Jesus is worth 5 hours with anything else, anyone else, 5 days. It didn't happen every time we took a prayer walk, but it did happen. And what I'm saying is, on that day, praying was an approach that helped me get into the presence of God and experience his voice. It was a wonderful experience. Let me share another one. A few weeks ago, Lori has COVID, and we're shut in different corners of the house. And so I know that this time is coming where I'm going to be instructing you in this topic of time alone with God. Only I didn't know at that time what was going to be my topic. I was just knowing that we had finished up our 10 prayer killer steps. And I knew that I needed to develop another focus. So what did I do? I got on the deck in the back of our house, looking out over Broad Lake, and I got quiet and I got still. And I began to read and I began to listen. And all of a sudden, as I began reading, and I began listening, I sensed a direction that I needed to talk with you about after our time praying together. It hit me. Time alone. We don't just need time together. We also need time alone. And I began to read scripture. I began to read in that trusted Christian book, Prayer Partners. And the more I read and the more I meditated and thought, it was like this assurance just came into my spirit. You know, this is where you need to go. This is what you need to teach next. And all of a sudden, I was with him and I knew his heart for what we were next to do. And y'all, I have never been any more encouraged or convinced that what we're about to be working on these next few weeks is truly God's heart for us. Y'all, God doesn't want us to just limit our prayer with him and our time with him to groups. He wants us to learn the opportunity and the discipline of time alone with him. I believe that's foundational to our walk. That's what changes our lives. That's what stabilizes our lives. So I'm so thankful for that time when I was reading. That time I was reading. I wasn't walking and praying. I was reading alone. But the TV wasn't on, and there was nothing except God's creation around me, and it was still and it was quiet. Again, do you see the commonality? No distractions, hearts willing, and you're saying, in a sense, Lord, if you'll speak, I'm willing to do it. And so today I'm doing what he helped me see that day. So praying, reading the scripture, and I'm going to say this with a very important qualification, perhaps a trusted Christian book. I don't think we need to read just any old book. It needs to be a book that is closely connected with scripture and does not contradict scripture. It needs to go like that. Sometimes mentors like Dr. Maxwell have been used by God to take the scripture and help us to learn how to practice it. And that was what I found that day. Okay, here's a third incident where I sensed the presence of God. It happened this morning. I was sitting in my recliner with my laptop open, and I was getting ready for today's lesson. I knew what I was going to focus on. I had started it earlier, but I needed to type it down, and so I could print it out and share it with Pam. And while I was sitting in that recliner, and my laptop was open, my Bible was open, and I was starting to write my notes, all of a sudden, when that thought of no distraction, ears open, God gave me that story about Samuel that just floated in. It was coming from way back when I was a child, and I read those stories from the Old Testament. By the way, can I encourage you, if you're a grandparent or a parent, you can do nothing more helpful for your grandchildren or your children than to put scripture or books based on scripture stories in their hands, especially while they're young. When they begin to read those stories, they have memories. They have the ability to recall. And sometimes those stories will surface years later as the Holy Spirit brings them to mind. That's exactly what happened to me this morning. So I was writing or typing on my laptop, getting ready for a lesson. And all of a sudden, he was in the room. I started weeping, and Lori just smiled. She said, "He's showing you something, isn't he?" And I said, "I don't know why he does that, but I'm sure grateful." So sometimes it's walking and praying. Sometimes it's sitting on the deck alone. Sometimes it's with your laptop open and you're actually trying to focus your thoughts. Y'all, I guess the way you could describe that is journaling. Journaling is the process of writing down what you're learning from the scripture. And you know, when you write, sometimes God just kind of starts working in there. And I can't explain it. It's the mystery of how God works. But he's given us all a mind. He created our mind. He knows how to speak to our mind. So here's a fourth way that I've also sensed the presence of God. All of this has to do with our preparation. You know, we come to God, distractions gone, ears open, heart willing, saying, "Speak, Lord, thy servant listens." And now you're just starting to approach him through prayer or through reading or through worship. And I have had opportunities from time to time when I have used this device. Yes, I know you hear me preach on Sunday mornings about these devices, but I'm going to tell you, this device has the capacity, when it's in the right place, on the right channel, in the right purpose, to be a blessing. Sometimes I type in worship music, and I can listen to it on what's called YouTube. And when I listen to some of this worship music, it helps me enter the presence of God and sense him. And I know some people that's their go-to. Like, some of you may get Etta's daily devotional that she sends out. And have you noticed in a lot of Etta's devotionals, she shares how she has heard a song, and she starts to share the lyrics with you because it's speaking to her? That's because I think her method of approaching God is consistent with her gift through music. Some of us are more analytical and thinking, and maybe ours is reading. But whatever your method is, God has the capacity to speak to you. And what we need to do is find whatever method works for us best and begin to approach him in that method and see what he's got to say. So, remember this. Whatever your approach to God is that works best, always remember our goal. We want to get ourselves into a place where there are no distractions, and we want to listen for the voice of God. This isn't so much about us talking a lot. It's more about us hearing more than we're speaking. So I have an assignment for you. And I'm putting this to myself too. Between now and our next prayer training, what I want to do is to challenge you to try each of these three approaches to God. I want you to try prayer. I want you to try Bible reading. And I want you to try also worship. Listen to some worship music. And I want you to see how those approaches work for you. And I don't want you to worry about, oh, I've got to spend X amount of time with God this morning. I just want you to approach Him. And it might be less time, it might be more time. But just start. Just start. And take one of those approaches. And as you take it, see if He speaks to you. Now remember, as you put this into practice this week, remember His promise through Jeremiah the prophet. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all your heart. I'm looking forward to putting this assignment into practice in my own time alone with God between now and then. I challenge you, join me. And next week, after our next step, we will take some time to discuss what did you experience? Because I believe we can learn from one another, and even in the discussion of what God's saying or what we're experiencing, there's a great blessing and a great learning to take place. So that's it for today. I want to thank you for your commitment to this time. I'm looking forward to next week as we continue learning more and more practical steps to our time alone with God. Thank you.